And so in their absence, though, we are blessed to have a man of God to bring forth a word today for us. And I trust the Holy Spirit has prepared him. And so if you wouldn't mind, you may, if you'd like to, stretch your hands forward towards me. I'm just going to pray for him real quick. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just hungry for you. I'm hungry for you today, Lord. I thank you that while Brent has yielded himself to you, and he has just overcome so much to bring forth this word today, I know it's going to be something that I need to hear. And if I need to hear it, there might be other people that need to be here listening to it too. So I thank you that he is going to hide himself in the veil of your anointing. He is going to hide himself in your presence. And that everything that he says, Lord, we trust that it is filtered through you, Holy Spirit. So bless him. And Lord, I pray for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, that your word won't go void. You said that it will accomplish what you want it to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know who needs to accomplish or whatever today, Lord, but I trust you. Lord, you own me. I trust you completely. And I just turn the service over to Brent in the mighty name of Jesus, looking forward to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And thank you. I don't know. I didn't have prepared in my message to have tears in my eyes before I got started. So I'm going to have a little recovery time. So everybody, if you would, while I'm getting my little recovery time here, let's go ahead and get your Bibles ready today, or your devices, it's fine. Not everything that I talk about, not every scripture is going to be on the screen for you. So your device or your Bible is going to come in handy. You can see I'm a man of multiple Bibles because sometimes I just like getting into the King's English, and it just feels a little bit more natural for me in some circumstances. And before I get going here, I'm going to just do a clicker check there at work. I want to talk a little bit about pronouns before I get going. So I'm going to be using some pronouns today. So a general rule, when I say I generally mean you too. Okay? And when I say you, I generally mean me too. Right? So whether I say I or I say you, we're all in this together because the message is for all of us. All right? Praise God for that. Well, if you would, let's stand to honor God in the reading of his word. The message today is called Governed by the Spirit, and it comes... the master text is going to be from Romans 8, but our master text to get us started today is Romans 8, 5 through 9. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, praise God, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen, and you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. The phrase I underlined here, I did this because I'm aware I'm using a King or a NIV Bible of 2011, and we have different versions. So what I did here is I underlined this part where it says the mind governed by, because Greek and English, they're not apples to apples. And believe it or not, that one word, phronema, that word takes all of the mind governed by there. But it also, in your translation, if you're New King James, Old King James, or whichever, even the old NIV, because we got an old NIV nowadays, You might see that it's mind controlled by, or the mind of, or the mind led by. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We're not supposed to mince our words. The meaning is the same basically, and the meaning is, who is governing your life? Who's leading your mind? What or who is in control of your being? And that's the point, and that's the message today. So get ready. We're about to go on a journey today. We're going to go on a journey together. And at the end of the journey, we're going to look back on the journey, and we're going to come to a point where each one of us, every one of us, is going to have a unique perspective, because God loves us as individuals, right? So praise God today for that. So as we get rolling, you remember in our text, it said the mind, one mind's governed by the spirit, or a mind is governed by the flesh. And they didn't give a third option, right? So I'm not going to get into third options, but I would say it would be fair to say that a mind governed by the flesh is not God's desire, and so it might be our enemy's desire. Would you agree with that? Yes, amen. But the mind governed by the Spirit, well, the Spirit is God. Absolutely. So if I look at the question, who is governing my life? I look up the road to Indianapolis, and there's a governor's mansion up there. And you can imagine, that's pretty fancy stuff, right? That's highfalutin things going on up there. They're going to have guests in the governor's mansion. But I don't care how many guests come and go, there's only going to be one governor in the mansion. So in the same way, who's the governor in your mansion? Right? When Acts 2:38, let's read God's word. And I'm sorry, I don't have this one on the script, but you have your Bibles, and you were forewarned that you would need them, or your devices. It's fine. You know, that's great. I can always use that. You know, it's not a phone, honey. It's a Bible. Right? So, all right. So Acts 2:38 and 39. Peter gave his great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And the people, they were cut to the quick by God's word, as it should be. And Peter, they said, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He goes on to say, this promise is for you and your children and everybody that God calls, because God will never reject anybody that comes to Him with a sincere and repentant heart. So there's the reality of it. We have the Holy Spirit. He's in there, right here. And He's in you just as sure as He's in me. But a friend of mine reminds me, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to occupy your territory more than you allow Him to. But if you invite Him to take up the whole space, He's going to take up the whole thing. The mind governed by the Spirit versus the mind governed by the flesh. The Holy Spirit wrote these words. If we want to know where we stand with God, are we governed by the Spirit? Are we governed by our own flesh? It's not going to be black and white, I'm afraid. I've been searching my soul for a long time. And sometimes there's ups and sometimes there's downs. And I don't expect to have it all mastered and under my belt and up on the mountaintop and just waiting to see what's going to happen to everybody else. That's not what's going to happen today. We're going to be on a journey, and it's up to us to decide where we are. I know I've decided when I've had my highs and lows, and I'm praying that I just give God the space that He deserves in my life. Amen. In God's Word, He assures us that we're being governed by the Spirit if we gain control of our... Hey, God, you're supposed to pay attention to the speaker, please. The slides are supplemental. All right. We'll get to the slide. Look back over here. Yeah, back over here. All right. So, I'm going to take the slide away if you don't behave. All right. So, I want you to get in your bulletins today. If you're following along in the bulletin, you'll know there's always this little a homework thing or a sheet where you get to fill in the answers. And it should be a number 2 lead pencil, by the way. I don't know if anyone told you that. Right? Number 2 lead. All right. So mark out where it said, I think, somebody read it to me. What's the first one say? Those governed by the Spirit, is it have control of their body? Is that what it says in the bulletin? Strike that out, please. That should say the word gain. And the reason for is just what I said. None of us are going to be sitting on the mountaintop waiting for everybody else to get as good as we are. It sounds a bit arrogant to say, I have control of my body, doesn't it? You know, sometimes I do, and thank God for His mercy, sometimes I don't. But we're gaining, and that's the right word to use here today. So what about these pictures? Well, Milk Duds and French fries and ice cream, those are just 3 of my favorite things, right? There's more. There's a lot more. But, you know, we're in this season here where we're, you know, this whole gaining control of the body and having the Spirit govern our minds and getting control of the body kind of fits with our season of fasting, right? It does. And so the pictures are up here. Like I said, those were just a few of my favorite things. I also like sausage gravy. So, Doug, do you still love me? All right. I know you loved me then when I took the picture. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. We have another message that we'll have to get into for that one. All right. I still love you, though. All right. But these are some of my favorite things. But the reason they're on the picture is that's natural food, if you call some of it food, right? That's natural food. But it's not the kind of food that's going to glorify God, is it? Not if I have it all the time. So the picture's up here to just get me started, to tell that stuff, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. Right? If I get upset and I get excited or I watch, I don't do it. I don't watch the media, but if I did, I'd probably want 4 boxes of Milk Duds to get through that. Right? You talk about a nice science fiction and they're calling it news, but that stuff is not the boss of me and it's not the boss of you either. All right, in your device, your Bible. Well, let's go ahead and get 1 Corinthians chapter 6 ready. Now, this is a long passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it deals with the human body. And there's it's kind of a mixed bag. It talks about food in the stomach, and it talks about the body as a temple, then it talks about sexual purity. And those are all important ways that we know that we're gaining control over our body. And we need to make sure that we absolutely have control over our body when it comes to sexual purity. But there's more in those verses. So let me just go ahead and open up to that. I think I put a marker in here for me. Yep, little shortcut. All right, so starting on verse 12, I'm going to read verse 12 and 13, and then I'm going to jump down to 19 here, having gotten sexual purity under our belts. All right. So starting with verse 12, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. And let's say I have the right to eat anything, which is true, but I will not be mastered by anything. Amen. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The stomach and food are only natural things. And that's why we have the statement, they're only temporary. Well, let's go down to verse 19. Do we have control? Are we gaining control of our bodies? Well, I hope so. Verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Now, that's plural, bodies and temples. Yes, the church, the one collective church, is the body of Christ, right? But our individual bodies are also temples, each one of us a temple for the Holy Spirit. So your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Praise God, He's in you. Whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor, glorify God with your bodies. I think that's pretty clear English, no matter which translation you have. Am I right? Amen. So, looking at our food choices and our appetite, when Paul says, I won't be mastered by anything in the context of food for the stomach and stomach for the food, we're talking about our food choices and our appetite. Paul is putting it in the context of where the conversation come from and what he's addressing. He's putting it in the context of the natural. And we need to take it out of the context of the natural if we're going to gain control of our bodies and put it into the context of the supernatural. So even if it's not Milk Duds or ice cream, if it's broccoli and quinoa and all the good stuff that's approved on the Daniel fast, which I learned a lot about. And I'll talk about that next. That's my next one. But even if it's a good food, it's only natural food, right? The stomach and the food are going to pass away. God's going to take them away. Jesus said in his dealing with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, he said that my food is to do the work of the one who sent me. That's real food. That's out of the natural and in the spiritual. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And again, in John chapter 6, Jesus says, my flesh is real food. Food that will be left one day. The only food, according to the Bible, both food and stomach will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 6:13. You know, in that day and time, when both food and stomach are destroyed and the natural food's gone, all is going to be left is spiritual food. But I cannot expect to be hungry for spiritual food then if I am not hungry for spiritual food now. I need to be hungry for and feeding on the bread of life every day more and more until my natural body gets this message. That it's under control of this man, my God-given authority over my body, if I give the Holy Spirit every part in my body that he deserves and that he needs to occupy. Now somebody, please say amen for me on that. Amen. Thank you. And fasting. Pastor Andy preached a wonderful message last week on fasting, and there were many benefits for fasting. Those that are governed by the Spirit, whose minds are governed by the Spirit, gain control of their body by fasting. Somebody shout out for me. You know answers, just go ahead and shout them out. What are some of the benefits that the pastor mentioned, or any benefit you can think of for fasting? And don't worry, I have a list, so if you don't think it's something, I'll read some of mine. Strongholds broken. All right, good. Amen. I got two of them. Right here? Discipline. Something sorely lacking in the world today. Yes. Self-discipline, absolutely. Yeah, somebody else over this way.
She said it improved relationship with God.
Improved relationship with God. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, that was also in these. And by the way, these are all Andy approved because I took the notes on my sheet. So I know the ones you saw. It's called Open Doors to Supernatural Gifts. And I'm going to tell you about one for me. I liked the word. Well, I didn't like it. I mean, no one likes cobwebs. But he said it would clear the cobwebs out, right? When he said it, I thought, man, I sure hate webs. And it gives me the creepy crawlies. I want to do a little testimonial for you on my fasting, and then what I'll do is ask, I think Pam has the microphone, and I want to hear from you. I want some testimonials, okay? But I'm not going to ask you to do something I'm not willing to do. When it comes to fasting,
To my chagrin, I didn't have a lot of experience. And I confess that to some of my brothers and sisters. Like, I don't know why or how I got to grow to be this age and this thing, but I've just really never just enjoined in the fasting like that. Well, I didn't realize that I had in some ways. I've given up things in my life and God's accepting that. But not this way and not with the food, because some people know I take pictures of my lunch and dinner. And sometimes my breakfast, I mean, that's a good one. I want to look back on that. It may never come back around, right? So, Mud, you saw the picture of my friend with the gravy, for example. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into. So I just went cold turkey Monday morning. I remember standing up here praying. I was like, Brent, you can't be a hypocrite now. You said, well, I'm going to plow into this thing in my prayer, and I meant it. And so Monday, actually Sunday evening, we just shut it down. We got to a time, we shut it all down. And Monday I go, nothing, cold turkey. I can't tell you what happened to me. I began to cry. I'm supposed to be getting through my first day of work here. And I'm, Lord, what's happened to me? I'm in a dungeon. And then by Tuesday, it was even worse. I'm walking. I got Psalm 42, as the deer pants for water, I pant for you. And why, oh my soul, so downcast? I didn't know what was going on. I thought, this fasting thing has backfired on me. But you know, it changed. I realized what God was doing. The stuff that was torturing me was stuff that was down deep in there that I didn't even realize I was carrying with me. God brought up the garbage so he could get it out of me. And he couldn't do it while I was feeding myself all the time. But when I got hungry and I got thirsty, that all of the pollution started to come up. And it hurt me emotionally. And I didn't think I could take it. But I stood on the word of God and I repeated God's word. And he began to show me, praise God, this is the trash that I want out of your life because I love you. And I had to get you to a point in your life where you'll listen to me and where you'll know where I'm coming from. So that's what fasting did for me. And then Tuesday night, I can only tell you, as many of you know on the prayer chain, the long pastor calls them the dark night of the soul. Mine started with a pain in my body. So if I thought I had a spiritual situation to deal with, now I had a physical situation. I felt it come on. And then finally I got to the point where I was literally crippled in pain. I laid in my bed, which is very uncharacteristic of me because I'm a do-do-do-do crash down, up, do-do-do-do-do. Now I'm laying in the bed at 8:30 and I can't even think because I am in new dimensions of pain that I didn't even understand existed. But praise God, now I can empathize with anybody who says I hurt, right? And laying in there, and I told Samantha, I said, all I could think of was Blessed Life Fellowship, start the prayer chain. I don't know where it's going, but start that prayer chain. And I lay there in that condition, and I'm quoting scripture to myself, and I'm telling God, I will still praise you. And Samantha and Samara came, and they put their hands on me, and the prayer chain's going. Praise God. I don't know if it was delirium or what. The next thing I know, it's 11:08, and I have this thing on my wrist, and it's 11:08, and I don't know if I'm in the realm of the living or which, and Samantha's asleep and the lights are down, and I'm like, hey, I'm not in agony. What's going on? I'm not in agony. I got up Wednesday morning. I ran downstairs. I wasn't in pain anymore. The devil's still trying to tell me something's happening, but I'm on my two feet. And I just began to weep because I don't have that pain anymore. I didn't know what it meant to hurt. But now I knew what it meant to hurt, and I knew what it meant to glorify God when he's delivered you and defeats the enemy's purpose in your life. And I know the power of prayer. I went to the doctor that day, kidney stone test. She's like, there's no evidence of anything like that. I come here for prayer meeting. Elders put their hands on me and pray. Thursday morning, I'm diagnosed with a pinched nerve after I'm already healed. Praise God. Let's give God some glory and praise here. I can't tell you what it's like to stand looking in your medical professional's face. My doctor, Noel Taylor, and I trust him with all my heart, with my body. And he says, you suffered a pinched nerve. I was like, and it's gone. And he barely adjusted my back. He barely touched me for this. Praise God. Yes. So that's my testimony today. I would love to hear somebody else's testimony. Somebody. Lily. Right up here in front.
So I'm not very good at this, but I will give it a go. I have this friend named Zoe White. I don't know if anyone's heard of her, but she was in desperate need of a heart transplant. Like, she was on medication, and they didn't know how long her body was going to last without this new heart. And she got placed in the top of the top tiers. And even then, that was a 3 to 9 months before she can get that heart. And they didn't know if her body would even last a month left. So obviously, when I first heard, it was about, I don't know, a few days before New Year's Eve, and I started praying. And I prayed every night, and we were about 2 to 3 days into the fast. And I got news from my friend Zoe that on New Year's Eve, on Thursday, she got a new heart. Not a month.
Praise God.
Not 3 months, not 9 months, barely a month before. Like, not even like maybe 2 weeks after she got on that list. She got a brand new heart, and it's working perfectly.
Amen.
And that was an amazing testimony for me, because I didn't know. I was struggling during my fast, and I didn't know it was working. I didn't know if anything was working, but it was really nice to see that my friend is okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you for sharing.
Who else? Anybody else? Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely amazing. Anybody else? All right. Lily, thank you for your testimony. Another way that we prove that we're gaining, that the Spirit's gaining us, and that we're gaining control over our bodies is Romans 12:1. I think you all know this scripture very well, is to offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. And you know, the reason I put it, I'm not going to belabor this point. I am conscious of our time today. And I could take up the whole time on Romans 12:1. So that's why I'm talking to myself here. I just now realize everybody's listening to me. So as a living sacrifice, all I want to say about that is our bodies say something just by being here. You know, where you stand with your body, it's your living sacrifice to God. Here it is, it's God's body. Look where I stand, or look where I sit. That is a living sacrifice, just where you take your body and where you don't take your body, because the place you don't take it is also your sacrifice and your living testimony. And it's more than just the food. It's what we do with our hands and feet. Do we show up with our bodies to work on time? What do we wear on our bodies? We're living sacrifices to God. What messages do we send with the way that we move, the way that we act, the way that we are, in the place where we stand, in the place where we sit? When I go to work with my body, I work with my employer, and the Bible says, work for that employer, whether it's with your hands or your feet, whether you're lifting or thinking or whatever you're doing, your body is to be working for your employer as for working for the Lord. You've got to see past the natural with your body, and you got to look at the supernatural. That's a living sacrifice, my friends, when you're at work on time. When you're where you're supposed to be and where you're occupying a space with your body that you need to be occupying, and when you keep it out of a place that it doesn't need to be. Those that are governed by the Spirit are governed, gain control of their bodies. They also gain control of their minds. Joyce Meyer, 4 million copies sold, Battlefield of the Mind. Really good book. It's been a long time since I read it. I need to pull it off the shelf and reacquaint myself with it. In this book, she says, her quote here, Your mind is like a computer that has a lifetime of garbage programmed into it. Yes, it is, right? And before the worship service today, I got a chance to talk to Noah a little bit. Sorry, Noah, if he's, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but he and I have something in common. We've all computer programming geeks. Although he's a much younger and more handsome one, and I'm the older one. But we both got this one thing. Do you know what GIGO is? G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Any programmer knows you use junk data when you're writing your program because you got to test something to get through it. But when you use junk data, you get junk results, right? Garbage in and garbage out. When the program's done, if you don't feed the program good data, it's not going to get a good result for your employer. It's the same way with the human mind. It's the exact same way for the human mind. So, in Romans 12:1, we looked at Romans 12:1, and now we'll look at Romans 12:1 and 2. Philippians 4:8, and we're going to go to Galatians 5:22 and 5:23. So, you can be kind of getting your Bibles ready for those. I'm going to go ahead and click on these. And remember, what we're talking about here is programming our mind. We have to program our mind. Romans 12:1 that we just went through says, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your proper, your true worship. Romans 12:2 goes right with it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is going to be programmed on something. Is it going to be the trash we see in the news? Or are we going to feed our program Holy Spirit data? We have Holy Spirit data right here. It's from Genesis to Revelation. What are we going to feed ourselves and feed our program? We need to feed our program good stuff. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Because thou hast made the Lord thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Program your mind and your heart and your soul with Holy Spirit data and information. Revelation chapter 5. Jesus, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Praise God. Program your mind with Holy Spirit data. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear nothing, because God is with me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah and praise God. Program yourself. Program your mind with the Holy Spirit data. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Program your mind with Holy Spirit data. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Program my mind with whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable, what's excellent, and what's praiseworthy. Fill my mind up with the good things of God and kick the trash out to the curb where it belongs, along with a lying and smug and hypocritical media. Put them on the curb where they belong and fill your mind up with the good things of God and keep the trash out on the street where it belongs. Hallelujah.
checking my heart rate. 96. 96. Galatians 5:22. Now, you may want to go there. I use a yellow paper clip to get there quick. So I bet you wish you had a yellow paper clip. See, I'm there now. Look at Bill's got it. He's fast on that device. The fruit of the Spirit. What's this guy talking about? Fruit of the Spirit. These things look like actions, don't they? Love, joy, peace, forbearance. And by the way, that's a cool word in Greek. It is, it's super patient, macro patient is the word. Kindness, goodness. These all feel like actions. But you know what? Before they're actions, they're decisions, aren't they? If our minds are programmed right, we're going to program our mind to decide we're going to choose love. We're going to choose peace. We're going to choose patience. And we're going to choose self-control. Before their actions, their decisions. Joyce Meyer said, where the mind goes, the man follows. Where the mind goes, the teenager follows. Where the mind goes, the woman follows. It's a decision. Love is a choice. Gentleness is a choice. Praise God. Those that are governed by the Spirit gain control over their bodies. Those who are governed by the Spirit gain control over their mind. And those that are governed by the Spirit allow the Spirit to control the conversation. And I'm going to stick with Galatians here. I don't even need my yellow paper clip. I don't think I turned. Yep, I'm still where I need to be. Stay with Galatians here. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. We were just talking about Galatians. We said love is a choice, right? Peace is a choice. Joy is a choice today. But, you know, if they all they remain is a choice and a feeling in a way inside my mind, they're not going to bear the fruit in this world that we need to do. So they have to become actions, not just decisions. The whole context of these fruit of the Spirit comes down to verse 25. It says, to have these fruits of the Spirit, it says, those that belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh. We've been talking about that with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, then let us keep in step. No, I'm actually doing this, keeping in step with the Spirit. And in my mind, I'm thinking the Spirit's going here, I'm going with Him. The Spirit's walking here, I'm going with Him. And the point is, I'm taking an action with my feet. Keeping in step is doing something, not just believing something. Actions speak louder than words. Let's just take an example of actions speaking louder than words. Many of you know the name Hippocrates. I think he's known as like the founder of the medical sciences, right? You remember Hippocrates has a famous quote. He said, let thy food be thy medicine. Do you know that one? In the same way, reading cover to cover of the Holy Spirit's word, the Holy Spirit tells us, let thy conduct be thy conversation. Let thy conduct be thy conversation. Actions speak louder than words. We're talking about fasting in the body and stuff. I'm fasting something else. It's come to my awareness over the last 20 years or so that I might not be the best driver. So in addition to the food fast, I'm fasting behind the wheel. I'm doing everything I can to just toe the line. Follow at a good distance. Keep control. Use the turn signal. Don't be in a hurry. My conversation behind the wheel. If I'm tailgating somebody, what am I saying? That I'm patient? Is that the fruit of the Spirit that I communicated? Or I'm in a hurry and you are in my way? Is that kind? That's not very kind. That's rude, right?
Praise God, I've never been a tailgater. Yeah. But I don't like when someone does it to me, but I've got my own problems. You know? So anyone ever do like me in speed?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you. Two of you. Thank you so much. I'm gonna write this down on my sermon notes. We got two of them. What conversations have? Well, where I'm going is more important than where you're going. I got to get there faster because my stuff's better than your stuff, right? And if I honk the horn, what am I saying, right? Am I gentle and am I patient and not kind, or am I being rude and pushy? Yeah, your actions speak louder than your words. We've got to let the Holy Spirit control our conversation with people, and we have to let the Holy Spirit control our conversation with God. You know, sometimes in a conversation, less is more. Say what? You know, say what? Right. Sometimes less is more. Here's what I find for me, and it may be the same for you. When I go to God with a wordy prayer, sometimes I come away, I don't feel so right about it. You know, and I just yammer on, and sometimes I repeat myself. And it's, don't take this wrong. God wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be on our knees. He wants to hear from us. We're His child. He loves us. And He says, tell me your story. He wants to hear it all. But you know, when you get your story out, sometimes it's good to just be quiet. Because if you do all the talking, that's not a conversation. One person talking is called a monologue. And a conversation is a dialogue. Right? We can't hear from God if we don't pause and let Him speak to us. You know, I've found in my searching of my soul that my many words in prayer might indicate a lack of faith on my part. Many words in my prayer I've figured out are me trying to figure things out on my own in front of God. That's kind of embarrassing. Right? Me using a lot of words in prayer means I might be trying to finesse something with just the right language, or repeated just the right number of times. But you know what? God already knows. God already knows. He's just waiting for me to give Him control. Do you all remember? Some of you do. Say y'all. 1996, I think it was. Independence Day. Big movie back in the time. Aliens were coming down, and the United States Air Force was about all that was left is going to pull things out. There's this aerial battle. And in the aerial battle, in the Air Force, you have generals, and then you have someone sitting on the ground doing ground control. But in the scene, things are intense, and the alien spaceship and the Navy or the Air Force jets and everyone's fighting, and the ground control specialist is on the radio, and he's looking at the radar and he's saying, go this way and go this way, so who's got a bomb in this? But the general, the seasoned general, sees all that's happening, and he takes this guy out of his chair and he moves him over here, and he gets in the chair and he takes the microphone and he starts calling the shot. It's the same way for us when we're in prayer. Sometimes God just wants us to get out of the chair and hand Him the microphone. If we're going to do that, though, we got to take that conversation out of the natural and we got to put it into the supernatural. So just like an Independence Day, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and following, just like in Independence Day, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Praise God, He knows what He's doing. I can't tell Him the situation without Him already knowing it. I got to give myself over to Him. He wants to hear from me. I'm His child. And He says, Brent, tell me what's on your heart. I want to hear it. All right, now I've heard it. Let me give you my response. Let me tell you what I've heard, and let me tell you what I figured out for you. And you know, sometimes in that prayer, when the Spirit, He'll give you a groan, or He'll give you something else. And it doesn't have to be the King or Queen's English. But just let the Spirit have you. Let Him control the conversation. If He wants to speak through you, let Him speak through you. It doesn't matter if it's the Queen's English. It doesn't matter if it sounds like gibberish to you. Something is happening in the supernatural that is not happening in the natural when the Spirit takes a hold of you and utters a sound through your vocal cords. I promise you, you'll never be the same. If that's not happened, seek it and give it to God. Thank you, Lord, my God. Praise your holy name. Those governed by the Spirit gain control of the body. They gain control of the mind. Those governed by the Spirit, they allow the Spirit to control the conversation with people and to control the conversation with God. And those governed by the Spirit know they belong to God. Sticking with Romans 8:15-16, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. Most of us here today are parents. Everyone here today is somebody's child. I'm looking at my daughter right here. She knows she's mine. I'm hers. Our lives are intertwined in such a way. Imagine if that's how it is in the natural with our children and our parents. Imagine how it is with our Heavenly Father. I know I'm His, and He's mine. And He's told me so in His Word. So we've been on a journey, haven't we? We said we were going on a journey together. Thank you for going on this journey with me. At the end of the journey, here's what I've come to. I've got space I can give the Holy Spirit, more space I can give Him to occupy my body. I still have space and room that I need to give the Holy Spirit to occupy more of my mind. I need to give the Holy Spirit more control of my conversation. But I don't ever need to doubt that I belong to God. You may be the same way too. Thank you for hearing this message today. God deals with each of us individually, and I know He's talking to you. And I'm just going to ask now, let's just all close our eyes, just think for a bit, and just be quiet. And I'm going to quietly pray over us, and when I'm finished, then I'm going to ask our elders to come forward so that we can have a time of prayer for healing, for spiritual healing, physical healing, for all and any of you that want to come forward. But right now, search your heart and mind. See if you've got a place in your body and in your mind and in your conversation that you can give to the Holy Spirit.